La branda ba la bagana da ba le bele 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 rapande bele lebe ipande brande bele lebe ikanda gada da branda gada da branda gada banda gada banda branda gada banda ekne de gede gede de bo shanda ba la ba la da ba ipande bele de bo shanda bele brande bele brande bele be ipande bele de brande bele be ipanda brande bele de be ipanda brande bele de brande bele de brande bele be Bada 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 bushka tada bada bada lava rekede gede gede dege lipraska talibraska pa lipanda bada da bande ve ripa 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 lekede budosh gede de budobo ripada baluba ha likandore de bo lipande braska te la pala matala maka librande bede bede de be la banda branda bada da bande de de va likala gatali braska te liparamata Kelebata, the Bende, the Bende, the Bende, Brenda, the Bende, the Panda Balalaba, the Kanda Branda Gede de Busha, the Bada Branda Bedebe, the Kadaga Diga Diga Daga, the Prasketa Digada, the Prasketa Librun de Gede Branda, the Panda Balebalam Branda, the Panda Branda Bedebo, the Karamata, Jede Brusketa, the Bada Badura, the Branda Baduba, the Praska Tarada Branda Bede Brenda Bede Branda Bada Branda Bada. Nikala gata legata, Nebraska taligata, Nebrande bele bala brande bele brande bele be, Ipande brande bele be, Ikapa kapa 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 kapa, Lipada bruske tere de braske tere de brande bele brande bele brande bele be, Ibrande bele de brande bele be, Ibrande bele de brande bele be, Ikada gada 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 gada, Nekede gada gada, Nebrande bele banda da da bande de ba. If Alabatala Brande Bep, if Pande Brande Bep, if Pande Brande Bep, if Pande Brande Bep, if Pande Brande Bep, if Kanda Balada Brande Bede de Bushanda Bala Branda Balada Brande Bede de Ba, if Kada Gada da Gada Gada da Bruce, Kede de Braske, Tele de Branca da Ba, if Pada Busha Talabana Banca Pala Brande.
Yeah. Revelation Tuesday service. Kado shada bada bra kala brata. Lepa kada bashada kada brata la bra kala brata la bra kala. And tonight is the season finale of the seven churches. Nakodo braska da bra kala la bra kala la bro shaka da kada brata. The season finale of the seven churches. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Le paroga sheka to katabra shetere de braka. Le pada bada brosh kalabrata. Somebody say the seven churches. God bless you for being here with me, my associate pastor, Apostle Paul. God bless you so much, my brother, Akwesi Pambo. God bless you so much for being here. Beatrice, my daughter. God bless you so much. Kado shada bada brashka da da brande bede boshka da brata la braka. Le pada boshka da brande bede boshka da brata da da brashka da brante. Makada, Makada, Eugenia, God bless you so much. Kado, Shada, Gado, Repa, Shkata, Breka, Labrante, Lepadabada, Repadaba, Repadaba, Repadaba. Do not mind my calmness tonight. I am like a diesel engine. I take time to spark. Bado, Shalabra, Kalabrata. But when I spark, I am unstoppable. Kidi, bro, Shata, Labra, Kadiba. Ledo, 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 rebrush, katan de brush, katalabraka, ripados, katalabash, katabrash, katalabrash, katalabrashka, licado, licadore, lebrush, katalabranda, vedebrus, calabrata, labraka. Since this is the season finale, let me take the time to do previously on the seven churches. Previously on the seven churches. Kado kadabras kalabrata lalabra kalabrata. Le padabros kalabrata. Now before I started this series, I made you guys understand that the purpose of this series is for you to know and understand that all the churches on the surface of this earth that you see today fall under seven categories. Prophetically, every single church that you see falls under one of these seven categories. Every church that is on earth today, for as long as the people who are in the church are called Christians, they fall under just one of these seven categories. Father Lord, Kadosha Kalabrata, as we are taking off, Father, we ask of you to take dominion of this service, to take charge in the name of Jesus, that whatever might be the hindrances, whatever might be the walls that will be lifted up against this service, oh God, let the walls come down and your reign be seen, your glory be seen, your impact be seen, your presence be seen. Let your spirit fall upon your people, which wherever there is a difficult ear, wherever there is a stubborn spirit, oh God, we pray that they will bow to your presence in the mighty name of Jesus. All faithful God, reign in our midst and take dominion tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. So I said the purpose of the seven churches is for you to understand that all the churches on earth today fall prophetically under one of these seven groups. The first church, as mentioned by the Bible, according to the book of Revelation chapter 2, the Bible said the first church is the church of Ephesus, the second church is the church of Smyrna, the third church is the church of Pergamos, the fourth church is the church of Thyatira, the fifth church is the church of Akadosha Kadabras Kalabrata, the church of Malo Ribashka Talibros Kalabrata Labraka. the church of Sardis, the sixth church as I am going to speak on tonight, the sixth church as I am going to speak on tonight is the church of Philadelphia, and the last church is the church of the church of Laodicea. Now, can you hear me? Okay, so as I was saying, every church that you see today, whether the church is Methodist, whether the church is Pentecost, whether the church is Deeper Life, whether the church is Prayer Life, whether the church is Power Chapel, whatever the church might be, whether it is Baptist, whether it is Assemblies of God, every one of these churches fall under one of these seven categories. So the Bible said, as the apostle John was found on the island of Patmos, Jesus appeared to him, and Jesus told him, write to the angel of the church of Ephesus, write to the angel of the church of Sardis, write to the angel of the church of Pergamos, write to the angel of the church of Philadelphia. It means that every single church has its own angel. And the Bible said Jesus walks in the midst of these seven churches. It means that every single church on earth, Jesus himself walks in the midst of these churches. That is why I told you it is not your place to criticize any church. It is not your place to condemn any church. It is not your place to judge any church, because whatever the church might be, whatever their schemes might be, whatever the administration might be, Jesus is in their midst. And these churches have their own angels. So the first church I spoke on was the church of Ephesus. And I said that the church of Ephesus is called the loveless church. And when Jesus was introducing himself to the church of Ephesus, he said, I am the one who holds the seven angels or the seven stars in my right hand. I am the one who walks in the midst of the seven churches. So Jesus introduced himself to the loveless church, into brackets, the church of Ephesus, as the one, the God of the supernatural. And I said that the problem with the loveless church is that they prioritize the supernatural realm over anything else. They care about the supernatural. Everything about them is the supernatural. They believe in creative miracles. Now, what I am saying is that there is nothing wrong with believing in the supernatural and actually living in the realm of the supernatural, but it becomes problematic when it becomes the only thing that you care about. The Bible said this church, this particular church, the loveless church, the church of Ephesus, they prioritize the supernatural over love. And the Bible said, even though their works were right, they didn't care about the first love. They didn't care about the first love. They had abandoned God. And I moved to the church of Smyrna. And in the church of Smyrna, the Bible said, when Jesus was introducing himself, Jesus said, I am the first and the last, who was dead and came back to life. And I said that the problem with the church of Smyrna was that they prioritized tribulation and suffering and poverty over anything else. The only thing that they believed in with respect to Jesus, or the only thing they believed in God, was the fact that Jesus died and arose. Even though this is the truth, it is not the only thing that Jesus was about. The ministry of Jesus was not just about his death and his resurrection. And the church of Smyrna cared about tribulation, suffering, pain, poverty. And because these were the things they believed in, unfortunately for them, that is how God introduced himself to them. And so it was written that Jesus said, surely you shall be tribulated for days, for years.
surely you shall be tribulated. Can Jesus not deliver the church of Smyrna? Of course Jesus can. But because the only thing they believe in is tribulation, the only thing they believe in is suffering, surely that is what comes upon them. That is why I told you guys that you have to be careful what you believe in. Because one way or the other, some way, somehow, the things you believe in, they are the same things that you attract into your life. If you believe in financial blessings, you begin to attract financial blessings. If you believe in suffering, you begin to attract suffering. Whatever you believe in, spiritually, you become a magnet to that thing. Whatever you believe in, you become a magnet to that thing. That is why it is written, for a man is what he thinks, or a man is what he thinks. Whatever you think, that is what you become. The reason some of you, your ministries are not doing well, the reason that some of you, you are still struggling with simple issues of life, is because you believe that you have to suffer first before you can come out successful. Until you learn to change your mindset, you will still go through the sufferings, you will still go through the frustrations. I came to admonish somebody, no matter what your mindset might be, this is an opportunity to change and turn, to overtake and return. And I spoke on the church of Pergamos. So the church of Smyrna is the persecuted church. The church of Pergamos is the compromising church. The compromising church. They will never give God their all. The little thing they do, they think it is enough. They want to serve God in their own comfort zone. They want to serve God and still serve the devil. When they are in the churches, they are praying. When they are in the churches, they are ministering. But when they come back home, they are sleeping around. They are cheating on their wives. They are cheating on their husbands. That is the church of Pergamos. They are trying to mix the things of the world with the things of the spirit, and that is not possible. You cannot mix these two together, just the same way that water doesn't mix with oil. So can you not mix the spirit with the canal? There is no way light has any way with the darkness. There is no way the Bible said the other day that come out from amongst them and be separate. What was God saying? He was saying, leave the things of the past. Leave the things of the world. Leave the carnal things and be reborn with God. Be reborn with Christ. Until you learn to let go of the things of the world. There is no way you can be in line with God. And that was the problem of the church of Pergamos. And I was telling you that the churches today fall under one of these categories. Some fall under the church of Ephesus. Some fall under the church of Smyrna. Others fall under the church of Pergamos. They want to mix carnal things with spiritual things. That is not possible. It is not possible. And I moved to the fourth church. That was the church of Thyatira. And the church of Thyatira is the corrupt church. The problem with the church of Thyatira is that they know what is right. They know what is the right way. They know that Jesus is the only way that you can get to God. Jesus is the only door that leads to heaven. Jesus is the only person you have to go through to get to God, but they will be praying through other mediums, they will be praying through other objects, they will be praying through other statues. You have to be careful. There are churches that fall under the church of Thyatira. Jesus was saying, write these things down. There are some years ahead, even before that I descend the second time. All the churches on the surface of the earth will fall under one of these categories. Today I know of churches who do not pray through Jesus. They pray through other biblical characters, other biblical people, but that is wrong. The only way to God is Jesus. The only path to God is Jesus. The problem with the church of Thyatira is that they know that this is the wrong thing, and yet they will never teach the people the right way. The corrupt church. And I spoke on the church of Sardis. The church of Sardis. Are you here? Are you here? Padosh kadabrata kadabraka. Lipo shatada kadabrata kadabraka. The church of Sardis is the dead church. The church of Sardis is the church that there is no spirit of God there. When they are praying, there is no spirit. When they are prophesying, there is no spirit. They lack the presence of God. The presence of God doesn't dwell in their midst. It is called the dead church. And the Bible said the reason it is called the dead church is because the people are not watchful. They are not watchmen. They do not pray. They do not fast. They do not tarry in wait. The dead church, kadosh kadabrata labraka, li padosh kadabrosh kadebranda badabraka debrata. The dead church, la karuma shata labraka labraka. That's the church of Sardis. But tonight I am dealing with the church of Laodicea and the church of Philadelphia. Li podobash kadabrata. Even though in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, the church of Philadelphia comes before the church of Laodicea, but I want to deal with the church of Laodicea first. The church of Laodicea is the lukewarm church. The lukewarm church. Revelation chapter 3 verse 14, the Bible said, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful, and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Kadosha talabra kadabrata. This is very interesting. This is very interesting. The Bible said, when Jesus was introducing himself to the church of Laodicea, he said, these things, I am the Amen. I am the faithful. I am the true witness. And I am the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus said, I know your works, in verse 15, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. Now, the problem I have with the church of Laodicea, they are saying they know Jesus to be the God of Amen. The meaning of Amen is that let it be. So it means that when it comes to declarations, the people of the church of Laodicea, all they know how to do is to say Amen. The man of God will prophesy and declare, and they will shout, I receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Let it be. This and that. Amen. They will shout right now. Whatever the man of God says, they will instantly shout Amen. Because they know Jesus to be the God of Amen. And they believe believe Jesus to be the God that whenever they use amen, they invoke the power that follows amen. And all of a sudden it comes to pass for them. And they also know Jesus to be the faithful. So they believe God will provide all their needs. They believe God will make them go through whatever they must go through. They believe that God will take them to the next level. They have so much faith in God. And so they know God to be a faithful God. Listen, somebody, one of the problems a Christian can ever have is to know God to be the God of amen, and to know God to be a faithful God, and yet will not be standing right with him. God can be providing all your needs. God can be giving you whatever you ask, and yet on that day, he will still tell you, I did not know you. You see, the fact that you are blessed in life does not mean that God is with you. The fact that you are successful in life does not mean that you are standing right with God. There are a lot of successful people who are already in hell, who are yet to go to hell. The fact that you are blessed doesn't mean you are making it to heaven. The fact that you are successful doesn't mean that you are standing right with God. Because the church of Laodicea, they know God to be the God of amen, the faithful God. Whatever they ask, they get. Whatever they seek, they ask, they get. Whatever they pray for, they receive. Whatever they fast for, they receive. And yet, it is the lukewarm church. Oh, come on, somebody. Do you still not understand what I am teaching you? If you do not come to a place where you know the God who is behind the miracles, and all you know is the miracles, the testimonies, you are already missing out, because there is a God behind that testimony, there is a God behind that power, there is a God behind that healing, there is a God behind that prophecy. You must know God rather than the prophecy, you must know God rather than the healing, you must know God rather than the testimony. If you focus on the miracles, if you focus on the breakthroughs, you can be very successful in life, but on that day he will tell you, I didn't know you, I have never known you, you have never been part of my crew, neither have you been part of my sons. I don't know who I am speaking to here, but if you are here, you believe it, shout yes. They know God. They know Jesus to be the God of amen. They know God to be the faithful God. They know God to be, they know Jesus to be the true witness. But one problem that I have is that they know God, or they know Jesus to be the beginning of the creation of God. Now think about it. The Bible said, it is written, that I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. How come the church of Laodicea, they only know Jesus to be the beginning and not the end? It means that the people who find themselves in the church of Laodicea, when they begin a thing, they started with God, but when the thing begins to move, they push God away. When they begin a business, they started with God. When a business begins to move, they push God away. When they start their ministries, they begin their ministries with God. But when the ministry is moving, they do some things, and they begin to sort some other gods. God isn't just the beginning, he is also the end. God doesn't have any right over nothing that he didn't begin. And so if you only know Jesus to be the beginning, you are already failing. The people in the church of Laodicea, they only know Jesus to be the beginning and not the end. And this is the problem. If you only know Jesus as just the beginning, then you have a problem. It is written that the beginning of a thing is not as important as the end. It is not how you will start, but how you will stand. But how you will end. It is not how you will begin, but how you will end. It is not how you will start, but how you end. It is your ending that matters, not your beginning. The beginning of a thing is not as important as the end. I don't know who I am speaking to. Some of you, when you began school, you started your walk with Christ, but first year, second year, you pushed Christ somewhere. Some of you, when you began your purposes, when you began starting your visions, your businesses, when you started whatever you believe in, you started with God, but when it started moving, you pushed God aside. You are just as the people of the church of Laodicea. You only know Jesus at the beginning, but not the end. But I came to pray for you, that if you only know Jesus at the beginning, may the Lord have mercy on you, and reveal himself to you at the end, in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, shout yes. Verse 15. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. I know your works, and that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. Jesus is speaking. Because you are lukewarm. You see, when we say lukewarm, it means at room temperature. Lukewarm means the temperature at room at the normal temperature that every room has, that temperature is what we call lukewarm. Now think about it. The normal temperature in every room that is actually supposed to be the norm, in reality, it means that if you are lukewarm, you are following the normal things that everyone else is doing. If you are lukewarm, you are chasing after what everyone else is chasing after. You see, some of you, you do not understand lukewarm. When we talk about lukewarm, you think that lukewarm is when you come to church, you pray to God, and the following day you are in the club. No, that means you are corrupt. When we say you are lukewarm, it means that you are chasing after the things everyone else is chasing after. You are doing the normal things that everyone else is doing. You see, these days, every couple is divorcing. They marry some few months and years down the line, they divorce. When you become a partaker of this thing as a Christian, it means that you are lukewarm. These days, people do not speak to their family members because of the things they put them through. That is the norm of this life. When you begin to chase after these things, it means that you are lukewarm. These days, wives do not respect their husbands. When you begin to do the same thing, that is lukewarm. When we are talking about lukewarm, it is when you are doing the normal things that everyone else is doing. Remember, in Christ, there is no normality in Christ. For those of you who do not know, normality can be a curse. There is no normality in Christ. In Christ, your paribasha is full of the Spirit, is full of joy. If you are in Christ, you do not follow the norms, you do not follow the traditions. That is why if you are in Christ, the things that kills everybody, you are not part of those things. The thing that everyone becomes a prey of, you are not part of those things, because you do not follow the norms. When you begin to follow the norms, it means that you are becoming lukewarm. Lukewarm. Some of you think lukewarm is when you come to church and pray, and when you leave, you go and live some other kind of lifestyle. Listen, that means you are corrupt. It doesn't mean you are lukewarm. When we say you are lukewarm, it means you follow what everyone else is doing. These days, everybody is insulting men of God. Everybody undermining prophets. These days, people are taking men of God for granted. They are taking the things of God for granted. Everybody is speaking against tithes these days. Everyone is speaking against offerings these days. When you become a partaker of these things, you are now lukewarm. You qualify. So lukewarm is at room temperature. The norm, the normal ways, what we know that everyone else does. Yes, that is lukewarm. Verse 17. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and yet do not know that you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind and naked. You see, lukewarm. These days, everybody wants to be rich. Everybody wants to be wealthy. Everybody wants to be independent these days. Everybody wants. You see, that is the norm. And God is saying, and yet you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked. What is God saying? You see, what you are wretched when you don't have the Spirit of God. When you do not have the Spirit of God, you become wretched. That is why people say life without Christ is full of crisis. It means you are wretched. The fact that you have money doesn't mean you have prospered. As I always tell you, prosperity has nothing to do with money. Prosperity is when you fix what is bothering you, what is troubling you. It doesn't matter if you have money and still do not have the fruit of the womb, you haven't prospered. So when you have money and you call yourself rich, God is telling you, if you do not have the Spirit of God, you are wretched and you are miserable. You are poor. How many souls have you saved? None. You are poor. How many people do you share the word of God with? Nobody. You are poor. Some of you do not even go to church. Even join one of these services, join our services and pray with us, you do not join. You think you are too busy to be here. Most people think, most Christians think that praying and fasting to build themselves spiritually, it's all that God wants. You are joking. If that is what you think, you are joking. The Bible said you are poor. You do not have anything saved in the kingdom of heaven. When you even find your way in heaven, you'll be sleeping under trees. You do not share the word of God with anybody. Even share the links for people to join, you cannot do it. You are poor. And the Bible said you are blind. You do not see anything. Things just happen to you. When you are given an opportunity, before you realize, you lose it. Your spiritual eyes are blinded to spiritual realities because you are spiritually blind. You do not see anything. You cannot sense anything. All you do all day is to listen to songs. All you know how to do is to blind yourself with the things of this world. Is to be so focused on the things that are happening today and being blind of the things that are yet to come. You see, you are so blind that even the things that before you have, you cannot even see. And verse 17. Now Jesus says, you are naked. The people in the church of Laodicea, of which most of the people listening to me are part of these churches, they are naked. Being naked means you are shameful, you are vulnerable. Anything can happen to you. The least thing, you are sick, the least thing, you are under attack. Anything that comes your way, you fall into it. Any pit that is dug ahead of you, you fall into it. All you hear day in, day out, are bad news. Jesus is saying you are vulnerable, you are naked. Verse 18. But God is saying that I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. Gold refined in the fire, he is talking about the word of God, that you buy from me my word. How do you buy the word of God? You buy the word of God with your attention. You buy the word of God, not with your currency, but with your commitment. You buy the word of God with your desire to know more. You buy the word of God with your attentiveness. You buy the word of God with your loyalty and obedience. That is the only way, that is the only currency by which you can purchase the word of God. And it is only after you've been able to buy the word of God that you are considered rich. You do not have any word in you. The least thing that comes your way, you listen to any advice. Anybody advises you and you are listening to them. Anybody gives you counsel and you are following them. You cannot man up and make decisions for yourself. You cannot be strong up and do what you must do as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. Even church meetings, they have to beg you to come. You are poor. And white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. The shame of your nakedness may not be revealed because of that white garment. How can you have a white garment when you do not even know what it stands for? It stands for holiness and righteousness. When people do you bad, you want to pay them with evil. When people disappoint you, you want to bring them to a place of pain. You do not understand forgiveness. You do not understand righteousness. You do not understand mercy. The only thing you know how to do is to retaliate. The only thing you know how to do is to insult. The only thing you know how to do is to be angry and complain. Yet, you call yourself a son or a daughter of God. Jesus sent me to tell you that you are naked, and until you learn to purchase the gold refined in fire and become a partaker of his people, your nakedness shall continually be revealed. These days, we don't preach about these things anymore. The people of God are taking anything for granted. They treat people anyhow. Are we not supposed to be the category of people, the group of people with mercy? When they begin to insult you, you will smile with them. When they begin to diss you, you smile with them. When they take you for granted, you smile at them. When they are insulting you, you smile at them. When they are even doing you evil, you smile at them. Knowing that God is doing his works. But these days, it is even the Christians that go around saying things like, you do not know the kind of person I am. Listen, do not mistake my spirituality for weakness. I will put the spirit aside of how foolish you are to know and to get to a place that you can put the spirit aside to deal with people carnally and still come back and pick up the spirit. I came to tell you that you are naked. You are naked. You are blind. You cannot see. You do not know what they are doing. Oh, have you been afflicted like Jesus? Or have you been afflicted like one of his saints? That the Bible said, even in their tribulation, even in their pain, even in their gross sufferings, they still pray for the mercy. These days, all we know how to do is to retaliate. Is to retaliate. Is to retaliate. Is to retaliate. Oh, shameful people. And Jesus said, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. I know that there is nobody here who cannot see. And yet, Jesus is saying, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. It means that there is difference between seeing and seeing. There is a kind of seeing that is so carnal and so normal that you begin to see the downside of the people, the flaws of the people, the fears of the people, the ignorance of the people, the frustrations of the people. But there is another realm of seeing where you only get this kind by anointing. And the Bible said it is only that you may see. You may see the things that are hidden to the carnal eyes. You may see the things that are meant for spiritual men and the sons of God and the daughters of God. The things that are meant not just for any man but for those with revelation. There is one thing you must chase after. It shouldn't be knowledge. Even though knowledge is good, it shouldn't be wisdom, because wisdom is simply applying what you have acquired by knowledge. But there is another realm of knowing, that is the realm of revelation. It is only that, or it is only they whose eyes are anointed, who can receive these revelations from God. Until you are anointed on your eyes, you are not permitted to see these things. That is why some of you have all you see are the flaws of people, all you see are their downsides, all you see are the things they did to you that hurt you. There is another set of eyes, those are the spiritual eyes that will permit you to see through the eyes of forgiving, that will permit you to see through the eyes of mercy, that will permit you to see through the eyes of encouragement, that even though you know that they are messing up, you will still stand with them. Even though you know that they hurt you, you will still stand with them. You will not be bothered by what they did to you. You will not be moved by the pain they caused you, because your eyes are anointed. You do not see the numb. You are not lukewarm. You have grown out of the place where you take things in a normal way. You have grown out of the place where you have grown out of normality. I don't know who I am speaking to, but if you are part of the ones who are anointed, shout yes. You see, is it not interesting that it was in the church of Laodicea that Jesus wrote that, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. It means that when it comes to the church of Laodicea, they do not truly know Jesus. They do not know Jesus. All they know is about Jesus. They have read about Jesus. They have heard about the things he has done. But Jesus as a person, Jesus as a God, the people in the church of Laodicea, they do not know our God. That is why anybody who is lukewarm, anybody who follows the crowd, anybody who does everyone else, who does what everyone else is doing, doesn't know Jesus, doesn't know the Spirit of God. I can boldly tell you, whether you like my message or not, if you are lukewarm, then you do not know Christ. The church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church. All the members of this church are lukewarm. Ripa, 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 ripa. But Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. So the reason I am teaching these things over and over and over and over is because I love you, and as I have been sent by the Spirit of God, I am here to rebuke and to chasten, that be zealous and repent from your ways. And it is only those who repent and open the door to Jesus, as it is written in Revelation chapter 3 verse 21, that to him who overcome, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Jesus is saying it is only they who repent that he will grant them to be partakers of his glory. Oh my God, my God, my God. It is my prayer for you, that you might repent from this message. You might repent from what you are hearing me say. Yet not I, but the Spirit of God. I admonish you, that repent now, so that you can be partakers of the glory of God. That on that day, he will not say, I didn't know you. On that day, he will not vomit you out of his mouth. It is my prayer, that you might repent from your lukewarm ways. You repent from your lukewarm attitudes. You repent from that lukewarm spirit, in the name of Jesus. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Revelation chapter 3 verse 7, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, oh God, he who is holy and true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Oh God. When people were seeing God to be, when people were seeing God to be a faithful God who provide for their meat, for their needs, when people were seeing God to be a provider, when people were seeing God to be only the God of the supernatural, when people were seeing God for what they believe they can receive from him, look at the church of Philadelphia. The Bible said, they know Jesus as the one who is holy. They know Jesus as the one who is true. They know Jesus as the one who has the key of David. And they know Jesus as the one who opens and no one shuts, and the one who closes and no one opens. Now think about it. When it comes to the church of Philadelphia and how they know Jesus, it is not for their physical benefit. They do not know Jesus for the things, the material things they believe they can receive from him. No. Because if you believe that Jesus is holy, what physical thing comes out of that? when you believe that Jesus is the true God, what physical thing comes out of this knowledge? When you know that Jesus is the one who has the key of David, and I will explain that too. What benefit, what material thing do you get from that? So when it comes to the church of Philadelphia, their knowledge of Jesus was not tied to the physical benefits they will have from him. And so the church of Philadelphia is the faithful church. That they have gotten to a place where they do not know God for financial breakthroughs. They do not know God for physical earnings. They do not know God for turning their destinies around. But they know Jesus for who he is. They know Jesus as the one true God. They know Jesus as the Holy King. They know Jesus as the one who opens and no one closes. They know Jesus as the one true God. Not for their own benefit. The Church of Philadelphia. My God. I pray for you that by the time we are through, you will come to a place that you will not love Jesus for what he does for you, but you will love him for who he is. You will not love Jesus for what you have been receiving from him, but you will love him for who he is. It is only through this that you become a faithful son. It is only through this do you become a faithful daughter. It is my prayer that you wouldn't know Jesus for the benefits you acquire from him. The faithful church, the church of Philadelphia. Verse 8. I know your works. I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. The key of David is the priestly key. It is the key that permits you, or it is the key that unlocks into the throne room of God. It is the key that unlocks into the Holy of Holies. It is the key that unlocks into the presence of God. And so when they knew Jesus to be the one who has the key of David, it was not for some financial blessing. It was not for some material blessing. But it was so that Jesus will push them into the throne room of God. Jesus will permit them into the room that holds the glory of God. It is my prayer that you will desire to be in the presence of God, rather to be in the midst of riches. It is my prayer that you will desire to be in the throne room of God, rather to be in a car full of money. It is my prayer that you desire to know Jesus the more than to be haloka shalabraka, than to be close relatives with money. It is written that you cannot serve God and money. If there is anything to chase after, it is not finances but Jesus. So they know Jesus to be the one who has the key of David. The key of David unlocks the door or removes the veil that cuts through the outer court and the inner court. It unlocks and permits the people to enter before the throne room of God. The key of David. The priestly key. So in verse 8, Jesus said, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut this door, for you have a little strength. You have kept my word, and have not denied my name. How can you keep the word of God if you do not even know the word of God? How can you keep the word of God if you do not have the word of God? The only way to keep the word is to know the word, is to listen to the word, is to be a partaker of the word. The word is the bread of life. Until you eat of it daily, you can never know and keep the word. And even though the people of Philadelphia knew the word and have kept the word, the second thing is they have not denied my name. Some of you, you are even shy. When you get to a place and people are asking, why are you a man of God? Are you a woman of God? No, please, I'm not. Always secretly denying the name of Jesus. Denying the name of God. And yet, in times of trials, in times of crisis, you still want to call upon this name for Jesus to redeem you. Come on. You cannot deny the name of Jesus secretly and expect the name to speak for you publicly. It doesn't work that way. Verse 9, indeed I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews, in other words they are Christians and are not, but lie, indeed I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. You see, there is a very beautiful revelation here. Jesus said, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. It means that whenever people are drawn to come and worship God before your feet, it is not because you are special, but it is because you are loved. That is why you do not stand in any position to abuse the people who respect your anointing. You stand in no position to abuse the people who respect your calling, because it is just because you are loved by God. That is why they gather behind your teachings. They gather behind your sermons. They gather around your ministrations. It is because you are loved by God. You have to be careful how you treat the people who come to worship under your feet. It is just because you are loved by God. You do not stand in any position to take people for granted. He said, I will cause them to come and worship at your feet to know that I, God, I have loved you. So the only reason they are coming is because God loves you. Verse 10. And because you have kept my command to persevere. Listen, if you are going to be faithful with your walk with Christ, you cannot do it without perseverance. Hear me. Perseverance is not a choice. It is a command. The Bible said, because you have kept my command to persevere. The Bible didn't say because you have made a choice to persevere. Perseverance is a command. It is a command to persevere. When you are going through whatever, you are commanded to persevere. You are commanded to step out of your comfort zone. Persevering is a command. It is not a choice. It is not a feeling. It is not an emotion. It is not a strength. It is a command from Jesus. Jesus said, you are commanded to persevere. And now he said, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. There is an hour of trial that shall come upon the whole world. And I know that one of these trials is this coronavirus. Jesus said, I will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world. Currently, what has come upon the whole world is this coronavirus. It is shutting all the nations down. It is shutting the airports down. Economies are going down. And yet you have, just you have, yes, you are still standing. You have never been a victim of this coronavirus. Do you think it is just something? No, it is because Jesus is keeping it from you. It is just an hour of trial that has come upon the whole world. But because you have commanded, you have heeded to the command to persevere, Jesus is also keeping this coronavirus from you. Hear me and hear me. There is more to come. Even after the coronavirus, there is going to be more hours and more trials. But you have to know, for as long as you are persevering in Christ, He will continually keep it away from you. If you are in Christ, you cannot be victimized by coronavirus. I don't know who needs to hear this. If you are in Christ, no matter what the trial might be, He shall keep it away from you. Even if the whole world will be crying, you shall still be saved in the name of Jesus. And watch this. The Bible said, this hour of trial which shall come. This book was written in the past. So, the writer said, which shall come. But if I am rewriting, I will say, this hour of trial, which is here, or which has come upon the whole world, it has come to test those who dwell on earth. This hour of trial has come to test those who dwell on this earth. Do you see that most people have their spiritual lives began to sink because of this coronavirus? Little did they know that it was a test and it is still a test. It is just an hour of trial that has come upon the whole earth to test those who dwell on the earth. Be careful that you are not victimized by this. Be careful that you do not fail this test. This coronavirus is a test. This coronavirus is a test. It is my prayer for you that you will not be victimized by this trial. Verse 11. Behold, he repeats this. I am coming quickly. Jesus says, I am coming quickly. Now, when you read other books, He said, I am coming soon. This time he's saying, I am not coming soon, but I am coming quickly. Now, for those of you who have not heard my message on the signs of the end times, I think about from part 1 to part 7 or so. Go on Telegram and listen. As I explain the seven trumpets, as I explain the four horsemen of Revelation, as I explain that there is USA in the Bible, there is France in the Bible, there are some countries that are in the Bible. Jesus is no more coming soon. He is coming quickly. Remember, he said, I am coming quickly after the hour of trial has come upon the whole earth to test the people who dwell on the earth. After that, he said, I am coming quickly. Listen, hear me, somebody. When we are here preaching day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, it is not because we are building some fame and popularity for ourselves. It is because we are always reminding you that Jesus is coming very, very soon. This time, he's not even saying he's coming soon. He's saying, I am coming quickly. My God. How shameful it will be that after we have warned you and warned you and warned you, you still become a prey. Hmm. Jesus said, behold, I am coming quickly. And what does he say? He says, hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Hold on to what you have. You see, this scripture is written to the church, and the latter part of the scripture is speaking to the individual people. Now he says, hold fast to what you have. What do you have? As far as the kingdom of God is concerned, what do you have? Some of you do not have anything. You do not have the voice to pray. You do not have the spirit of prayer. You do not have any gift at all. You do not have the willingness to serve God. You have nothing. You have nothing. God is saying that hold fast onto what you have. And if you have nothing, it means that you already do not qualify for the kingdom of heaven. You have nothing. You don't have anything. You have nothing. He said, he didn't say, hold on to me. He said, hold fast onto what you have. What do you have? We are always preaching to you day in, day out. Every Tuesday, every Friday, we are preaching, we are praying. We are preaching, we are praying. We are prophesying, we are praying. We are preaching, we are praying. And after all these years, you still have nothing. Listen, know that Jesus is coming quickly. Jesus is coming quickly. And he said, let nobody take your crown from you. Some of you allow yourselves for people to lie to you. They'll be telling you, listen, sowing these kinds of seeds to these men of God, it will not help you. Spending your time in church will not help you. Doing these things will not help you. Little do you know that those counsels that they are giving you is what is taking away your crown of glory. Hold on to what you have. What do you have? What do you have? Verse 12, he says, he who overcomes, you see, when we get to verse 12, that is where you clearly understand that every man for himself, everyone for himself, and God for us all, hear me. He said, it is he who overcomes. It is not Deo, ha ya kalabasha kalabrata. When the day comes, even though we are all partakers of the faithful church, even though our churches are part of the or falls in the category of the Church of Philadelphia, even though your pastor is faithful, even though your leaders are faithful, he is saying it is only he that overcomes. It is not about the pastor. It is not about the leader. It is not about the pastor's wife. It is he that overcomes. It is he that overcomes. It is he that overcomes. I pray for you, somebody, that when the day finally comes, you shall be an overcomer. You shall be an overcomer in the name of Jesus. He says, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. You see, it is only he who overcomes that I, God, will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Now think about it. Who is a pillar in the temple of God? You see, what is the job of a pillar? A pillar is he who supports, or a pillar is something that supports a building or a structure. So if you are made a pillar in the temple of God, it means that God is placing you in a position where you will support not just the temple, but the people of God. And so they will bring you their issues, and you will deal with them. They will bring you their troubles, and you will deal with them. It is only he that overcomes, that I will make him a pillar. Listen, Jesus is not talking about men of God. Jesus is not talking about apostles. Jesus is not talking about prophets. He is talking about only they that overcome. That is why I always tell you,
the work of God is not for men of God alone, if you don't know. Some of you, by now you must be pillars in the temple of God. You must be pillars in the kingdom of God. And yet, all you are doing is chasing men of God, chasing prophets, calling them, man of God, my dream, man of God, my this, man of God, my troubles, man of God, my this. Meanwhile, you are supposed to be a pillar yourself. If you do not know, this thing that Jesus is talking about is tied to whether you get to heaven or not. Because he's saying, I will come quickly, and it is only they that overcome who are pillars in the kingdom of God who shall go out, and they shall go out no more. I will write on these same people my name, or the name of my God. Listen, some of you, by now you must be preaching the word of God. By now you must be having, you must be doing something that is relevant in the kingdom of God. And yet you are there, always complaining, always crying, always worrying. Hear me. If you do not take care, you will go to heaven, but where you will sleep in heaven, you will always cry. There are angels in heaven. You see, I haven't taught you guys about angels yet. There are angels in heaven who have lived in heaven their whole lives, and they have never seen God before. They have never seen the glory of God before. They have never encountered God before. They do not know God. I'm telling you, listen, there is a place in heaven that even the glory of God has not reached. You think going to heaven is enough? Yakadosha. You are supposed to be pillars in the kingdom of God, and yet you take things for granted. You are not serious with the things of God. All you do is to watch pornography and fool around. All you do is to be chasing women. All you do is to be sleeping around and fooling about. Hear me. Your days are numbered. Your days are numbered. Jesus says, I am coming quickly. It is only he who overcomes that I will make him a pillar in the temple of God. And he shall go out of the temple no more. And I'll write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. Listen, Jesus is talking about life in heaven. Even the temple he's talking about is not a temple on earth. Because when Jesus comes on earth the second time, all these temples will break. He's talking about the temple that is in heaven. It is only he who overcomes their lives on earth who will be made pillars in heaven. I pray for you. I pray for you that you will not be left out. I pray for you that you shall become an overcomer. I pray for you that you will not be dismayed. I pray for you that your crown of glory will not be stolen from you. It is my prayer that you will not be led down a deadly path. It is my prayer that you will be led by the Spirit of God. It is my prayer that you will continually dwell in the faithful church. The faithful church. The faithful church. Prioritize Jesus over everything else. They prioritize knowing Jesus over any benefit that comes with Jesus. And that is what I have purposed in my heart to do with prayer life, church. That even though we believe in the supernatural, even though we believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus, even though we know there's tribulation, even though we believe in all these things, even though we know Jesus is a faithful God, he is the God of amen, he is the God our provider, yet I prioritize knowing Jesus over anything else, knowing God over anything else, because it is only in the knowledge of him that you become as one with him, and you shall become an overcomer, and you can be made a pillar in heaven. Jesus is coming quickly. If you know that your church doesn't fall under the category of the faithful church. In your church, they do not preach Jesus, or they preach our testimonies, or they preach our breakthroughs and miracles, or they preach our sufferings and poverty, or they preach our clothes and do not wear trousers, and women should not wear trousers and all that nonsense. Hear me. None of these things are as important as Jesus himself. If your church does not prioritize Jesus over anything else, it doesn't fall under the category of the faithful church. If your church does not preach Jesus being the only way, does not preach the one true God, does not preach your knowledge with Christ or in Christ, does not preach Jesus being the Holy God, does not preach Jesus being the one that ushers us into the throne room of God, then your church is not the Church of Philadelphia. If your church falls under any of these categories, I will advise you to leave right now. To leave. I haven't mentioned any church's name in my teachings, but I have taken my time to take you through these prophetic churches. If you know that your church doesn't fall under the category of the Church of Philadelphia, please, your church is not in, or is not part of the faithful church. Leave. I pray for you that this word that I have preached to you will become a stronghold in your heart and will become a stronghold in your mind. That even if you want to undermine it, it will still stand strong. Even if you want to abuse it, it will still stand strong. Even if you want to ignore it, it will still stand strong. In the name of Jesus, I bless you with the blessings of the Lord. This is the end of my series on the seven churches. I am done. And I know that the Spirit of God is done. God bless you all who made time to stay with me in this particular service. And all of you who have stayed through each and every single one. Part 1 to part 2 to part 3 to part 4. God bless you guys so much. Friday, I'm coming to you with something special. You cannot miss out. God bless you so much. See you on Friday. Bye-bye.